Blog Talk Radio.
Cover up that computer in the car, and the car is real hot. You might want to bring it in. Yeah, if it's real hot.
Evening. This is the Apostle coming to you on the Now Sabbath Radio Hour, Sabbath. And those of you who chose to call in, and I want to thank you. Those of you who chose to listen by computer, I want to thank you also. Today we're going to deal with faith in the beloved, living in the beloved community. And we're going to start out with Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5. And this is what, I know we will continue another subject, but this is what was placed in my spirit, in Matthew 8, chapter 8, verses 5 through 9. And I assume that it was placed there because of what's happening now in the society that we live in and in the world society. Things that's happening. We have these wars. We have these individuals who are playing God. We have those individuals who are trying to take something that doesn't belong to them and sending people off to die and to kill. And we who are believers are sitting idle by watching it happen. My thing is that we do have power and authority to bring about change in all of this. And we will start with God. That's who gives us the power and authority to bring about changes. And who is God? According to the Bible, we have a name, a Hebrew name, because Hebrew, Israelite, Abraham, they were the father of three spiritual movements. One of them was Judaism, a Hebrew, Israelites. Then there was the Christians, or those who were chosen to be the followers of Jesus, members of the Way. And then we had the Islam, Muslim. But it started out with the name Yahweh. And if we take a look at it, we see the different names over time. We went from Yahweh, I am that I am, Adonai, not in an order, different orders, Adonai, Jehovah. And we take a look at authority that he gives us. You see, the name Yahweh, or he brings the host into existence. And which host? The word, not his word, but the commentary, he indicated that properly he was referring to the heavenly court or to Israel. Now, he bring into existence whatever exists. that's when we get that straight, who the God is that we're talking about and what it is that's happening now. Is that same God? You know, when I was young, there was this movement that was talking about God is dead. And there was people who went for that. But in this time that we're in, what is it that the Word is saying to us? What is it? What power and authority is the Word given to us so that we may overcome all of the foolishness that we see? It was interesting this morning as I was listening to the music on TV, and they had this one where there was soft music, and I just started jotting down some things. Some of that I saw, and I just modified it a little bit, but breath. Breath is the bridge that connects us to the divine. So if we have the divine's breath, then we can do what? Not be frightened by what other people think of us or what you think other people see in you. Just be you. And that was one of the things that Moses, whenever he had to go see Pharaoh, he was afraid that Pharaoh would see that he was just a man. But why he kept asking God and why he was hesitant. And God told him, whenever he asked again, who shall I say sent me? And he told him, I am that I am. I am. And that signifies authority. Speak it with authority. And as we listen to the reading of the Word today, Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 9. And this has to do with faith. And the faith of a centurion. It did not say a faith of a believer. It said the faith of the centurion. Could be any centurion. Because if you listen to the reading, you understand. And then you understand what power and authority you and I have. Faith. Living in the love community by faith. It says, verse 5, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. What are people doing now? People are looking for help. Some of them are looking for help in all the wrong places, but they're looking for help. Think about it. If they come to you asking for help, and Jesus is giving Jesus, well, that's good. But have what authority are you doing that? And as we go through this, I want you to wrestle with that question. It says, this is what the centurion says in verse 6, Lord, he understood who he was talking to. He called him Lord. He said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. What did he do? First thing, he identified who Jesus was and the power and authority that Jesus had. Then Jesus responded, excuse me. Jesus said to him, "Shall I come heal him?" Okay, now we have two things going on here, two parties that are communicating with each other. Jesus is one, the centurion is another. The centurion, what did he do? He established the relationship between him and Jesus. You say, why or how did he do that? He recognized that Jesus was the one in authority, not him. And because he understood the power and authority the power that comes with authority, he then tell Jesus what it is that he needed of him with the expectation that Jesus could fulfill the need. A lot of us, we don't, we just say, just Jesus, 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 but we don't really understand what we're saying. But the centurion did. He said, Lord, that elevated him above the people, the government, the earthly government, that recognized that he had power that no one else on the earth that in his realms of consciousness had. Now, let's move on. He said, Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? Because now he done told Jesus what he needed, what the solution. See, he didn't tell him. He told Jesus what the problem was, and Jesus told him what the solution was. But he had in the back of his head what the solution was whenever he addressed Jesus. And what did he say? Jesus, in a Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Help means he was asking for the solution to his problem. He didn't go to Jesus and out tell Jesus what the problem he was having. He asked for help. And what did he do? He said, Lord, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. And that was the problem. But he first addressed the solution. Help would have been the solution to his servant's problem. And because they were on the same accord in terms of the problem and the solution, Jesus said, shall I come and heal him? Now I want you to listen. Listen now. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and see how this scripture applies to you and how you've been applying it, the word to in your day-to-day situation. The centurion replied, okay, so we're still dealing with the centurion and Jesus and the servant. He said, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. What did he do then? He saw the relationship that he had with him and his unworthiness. But what did he do? He said, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. Even though he was unworthy, he knew that Jesus was not going to hold out against him, that Jesus still was going to act in the midst of his unworthiness. And he, what did he do? His comment said, what about his belief? What did he put his belief and faith in? The word. Say the word, and my servant will be healed. You have to think about all of this. How do we apply the word? How do we speak? What comes out of our mouth? verse 9. He says, "For I myself am a man under authority." Let's just hold it now. Let's go back. He told him, just say the word, and the servant will be healed. How did he know that? Because he said he was a man under authority. And what did he do in verse 5? He recognized the authority of Jesus. He said, the centurion came to Jesus asking for help. "Lord," he said, that established the level of authority right there. So, this he says here. He says, "I myself am a man under authority." So, he's under authority. Here in the natural realm, here he's under authority in the spiritual realm in verse 6. He recognized the spiritual authority that Jesus had. So I hope you are listening with your spiritual ear. If you're listening with your spiritual ear, ask the Holy Spirit if you don't have a clear understanding of what is being said here. And listen. He said, "With soldiers under me, I tell this one to go, and he goes, and that one comes, and he comes." Okay, how does that relate to what Jesus is doing, what he wants Jesus to do? He understood authority. He said, "I have also have authority. I can tell the soldiers that's under me to go, and he goes, and that one comes, and he comes." So he's talking about the power that Jesus had. He's identifying it, the process. He's identifying it in a way that's will release, that way the power is released. In the word he speaks, the word he spoke. So if he says, "I tell this one go, and he goes, and that one comes, and he comes." What did he spoke it? He spoke it. Like, what did he do? What did he say to Jesus? He told Jesus, "Say the word, and my servant will be healed." That relates to here. So he was saying, "Jesus, I know your authority. And I know the authority in the words that you speak, in your spoken word. And this your spoken word will cause the solution to my problem, that my servant will be healed." Okay. We're about to the end. And then, what did Jesus do in verse 10? When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, hold it now, he is a centurion, understood how in the garden, understood how he uses his power in the garden, understood the power and authority that is included in the spoken word. He said, "Say the word. Speak it." See, Jesus' point that he was making here is that you can believe all day, but if you don't take some action, nothing's going to happen. And you have these people telling you that, "Oh, you got to be this and you have to be that." But here was the centurion. And this is what the key right here. He said, in verse 10. I want you to take this and read it for yourself, and you will see. Let's see what the Holy Spirit said to you that you get from reading this. Jesus said, when he heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, okay, the centurion wasn't following Jesus. The centurion wasn't there with him. So what does Jesus say to the centurion? He said, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. What did I say? Read it again. Not my words. Jesus' words. And the same faith, that level of faith that the centurion had, who was not even a believer. Jesus said, I'm going to read it now. I want you to read it for yourself as well. Jesus was clear. He said, truly I tell you, truly I tell you, in today's language, here's a person who believes something and that can do something or that knows me, that doesn't know me. And he knows the power and authority that I carry with me. You go back and read it again so you can start and begin at verse 10. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, you know, like today, we say we are following Jesus. Do we really understand what it is or who it is? So what did Jesus tell the centurion? Centurion, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Keyword, great faith. Great faith. In other words, he's saying the centurion's faith is greater than those who are following him. And let's read on verse 11. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and would take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 12. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into darkness. Listen to what I'm saying now. I'm reading this. This is what Jesus said. He's making it clear. But the subjects, the people, those who are living in the kingdom, the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside. In other words, they're going to be left out. They're going to be put out, thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, let's process this a little bit here. The subject of the kingdom. Now here's this man who was not part of the kingdom, was not one of the people living in the kingdom. Let's equate that to today. Basically, he's saying that people in the church, if we overlay that on today, the people outside of the church whose faith is greater than the people who's inside of the church, and some of those inside of the church, whatever, they're not going to be the ones getting into the kingdom. The ones outside are going to get in, or the ones who are inside. Because he said, first, let's go back up here. He said a centurion came to him asking for help. Okay, and what did he say? Mm-hmm. he said he was amazed and said to those following him, this Jesus now, truly I tell you, this is about the centurion who hasn't been following him. It also applies to those who are in the church and the ones who are outside. Their faith. So he said, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Think about it. He said that the people outside of the building, the body of Christ, the body of Christ, have more faith than those inside the body of Christ. Think about it. Faith without works is dead. Then it goes on. This is key. Also another key. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside. But those who are in the church will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's all what he said. Thrown outside into the darkness. Now, let's process that word, darkness. Because lots of times you want to think it is color. It's not. You're not talking about a color. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis. What did God say whenever he looked out over the deep end of the dark? It was everything was null and void. So there's nothingness. There's separation from God. That's what he's talking about here. Be thrown outside into the darkness. In other words, you're separated from God whenever he throws you out. And where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All I'm saying is, we need to understand what faith is all about. We need to understand authority. We need to understand where that authority comes from. But most importantly, we need to understand that the words we speak has meaning and power. And authority. When we are out there in the world, we use what we call nasty words. We curse people. We expected that to happen to them. Because we said it. We meant it. We believe it. We understand that words, those type of words have power. Then why don't we understand that the words that God gave us, the word that God spoke has power? Now, the end of this is in verse 13. Jesus speaking again. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go. What did the centurion say up here? Verse 9. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go. What did Jesus do? He used what the centurion understood. He told the centurion, go. Let it be done just as you believed it would. Okay, let's go back up here now. Tell him to go. Let it be done. What did the centurion say? I tell this one, go. And what? He goes. Because he, the one who received that, believed the power that the centurion had power and authority and the words that he spoke, that he must do what the centurion said. Just as the centurion believed that the words that Jesus spoke would bring about, the healing would come about. Think about it. We need to think about what we're saying. And when we think about what we're saying, let's look at what the impact is of what we're saying. last key word is believe. 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 Key words here. He established authority. Thoughts of them. Authority is one of the key words. The word, just say the word, is another key word. Great faith is another. Let it be done. Let it be done. The word spoken, servant will be healed. Believe. And what happened? And his servant was healed at that moment. I just want y'all to think about all this. Read Matthew chapter 8. We can't do ministry. One, if we don't understand power and authority, and who gives that power and authority, and how are we to access the power and authority. Faith. Faith. You have great faith during this time. And because we have great faith, we can move the mountain. We can move that mountain. So, the day that ends our teaching on faith, I want you to read that scripture for yourself. Read it. And allow the Holy Spirit to guide you into understanding. And we will be back on Friday nights at 8:30. And we will be here Saturday evening, afternoon. And on Friday night, that's when we have biblical studies. Biblical studies. And this coming Friday, we're going to talk about the meaning of Jesus, the Son. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And we're going to come into understanding of how we got Holy Ghost in the King James Version and the New Testament. How you get ghosts out of a spirit. We're going to talk about that. So just have your pencil, because it's not biblical. The answer is not biblical. And we're going to get into the Trinity, which is, again, it's not biblical. And we can have an understanding. Hopefully we get through all of that on Friday night. After we lay out the nature of God, his character, his work, and the relationship. And after that, we go through that. That's when we're going to take those other areas up. And we will address them. And if anybody has any questions or comments about anything that was said thus far, you can reach me with email, hawkinsdrums12@gmail.com, or you can text 980-636-662. 980-636-4662. So let's have a good evening. Shalom. Shalom.